The 11 o'clock hour of William Tausch begins now. Bill Schroeder working his way to the Mark Tauscher press box with all the photos and accoutrements. Do they have your favorite snacks too? Do they have protein muffins and everything else waiting for you there? Or did that work?
Did you say accoutrements? Is that what you said?
I did. I it's a fun word to say.
No, there's no accoutrements up here. So,
are there snacks?
I haven't looked. I got a cup of coffee, which is good.
Protein muffins? No cover on the coffee, I'm sure.
No cover on the coffee. No, I don't want all that plastic jumped in. But look at who we got here. The big dog. I'm not going to get into Pat Murphy. We'll ask Rock if he thinks Jesse's criticism was approved of that. But we got The Rock. Jason. The Rock,
yeah.
Old T and Jesse. What can make for a better Wednesday afternoon than that?
Especially after a win yesterday.
Yep.
You call me the big guy. I mean, I'm kind of pale in comparison.
No, I don't mean like stature. I'm talking stature at AmFam Field.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Actual physical size.
Yeah, literally, I just got here today, so I was reminded, hey, you're still ready to come on. And I walked in and...
Well, that's how Jesse books goes.
Now I'm ready to go, you know. It's like,
hey, so what do you think? Look at this. We opened the show. We got our Wildy and Tausch welcome. And then take a look. I'm telling Prince, hey, man.
Fantasy camp.
No, this wasn't fantasy camp. This was down. I did some BP.
Okay.
Doing some coaching.
Which, you know, you're probably not
sure. Was Prince there that year when you were there?
At fantasy,
no,
he was not.
No, he was not. No.
How did fantasy camp go? Did Jason make it down? I know he promised he was going to make it.
No, he didn't.
He didn't make
no.
it down?
I mean, are you going to
My invitation got lost
back.
In the mail.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and I know everybody that has been down there knows, it is a great experience down there. You get to just be in the clubhouse and, you know, crack a beer or two after the run, and you get to hit, and it's a great event. I know you've been doing it for years.
Yeah, I mean, we had 95 last year.
Anybody good?
18. Yeah, we had some pretty good talent. Okay. I mean, as I have – I started this, you know, back in – I think it was 02, and we got – you know, the campers seem to be younger every single year, and the competition seems to be getting better. I'm not saying the competition's really good.
Sure.
But better.
Okay.
You know, I don't think, you know, the Brewers are going to find any budding talent down there. Of course, you got to be 30 and over to come down. But it's a blast. It's kind of a, you know, good kickoff to the baseball season for a lot of us, the coaches. I have the same pretty much core group of coaches come down every year. You know, we talk. You know, we have what they call the fantasy camp group text chat thing.
Oh, the text string. Oh, yeah. I bet there's some doozies on that.
Yeah, I mean, we have some pretty, we have some characters on that list, and it's a lot of fun. So,
who's the biggest character? Like, who is, if you're sitting there and you're telling people that want to come down and do it, this is who you need to sit down and have a beer with and tell stories? Who would that be?
Well, Greg Vaughn has always been one of my favorites.
Okay.
I mean, Greg Vaughn. I mean, he's been a fantasy camp coach for a long time. Now we have a lot of great. You know, guys, some personalities, and we had Jeff Jenkins. So last year we started something, you know, like second day of camp where the fantasy camp campers took their coaches out to dinner.
Okay.
All right. And, you know, we're not talking about Rufus Chris. I mean, we're talking about sports bar wings and stuff like that. But you know what Jeff Jenkins did? He lives in Phoenix. He had all of his guys come to his house. It was the night of the national championship game. So think about it. I mean, you're a fantasy camp guy. You come down and play baseball, and you have Jeff Jenkins invite you to his house with beers and food and all that kind of stuff.
Everybody's going to be signing up for Jeff's team.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it was a draft. And, you know, we can be bribed. You know.
That's the least shocking thing that we've heard.
Slip us a couple of you know, maybe golf, you know, rounds of golf.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're not looking for cash.
No, you're just a little something.
Little barter system.
Yeah, just
a little bit.
Something. What makes the world go round.
Yeah. There's no free lunch.
Nothing. All right, Rock, before Jason jumps in, what do you think so far? It's been an up-and-down season. We've had people on this show that have been saying
What are you looking at me for?
That have been saying, well, I don't know, maybe there should be conversations about the manager.
That is not what was said.
Oh,
with some
on.
Of the injuries and some of the other stuff. What do you think so far how this season has gone for the
You know what, if you were to take this season and put it last year, I think everybody would have said, "Yeah, oh, it's a young team."
Yep.
You know,
new manager.
You know how it goes, right? In football, you know, you have guys and you're trying to move your, you know, trying to, you know, develop talent and getting guys used to it. These guys were all so good last year. All these young guys, every single one of them performed beautifully. But as I always try to remind people, whether it's on a radio show or here at the ballpark, you know, doing TV, to be consistent year after year after year, whatever sport it is. I mean, that's the toughest thing. You know, the toughest thing is not getting to the big leagues. The toughest thing is staying in the big leagues and making adjustments on, you know, what pitchers and organizations are doing to you when you come to the plate. And I think there's a little bit of growing pains right now with, you know, some of these guys. I mean, Jackson Chourio, 21 years old. I mean, can you imagine a 21 years old doing what he's doing? I mean, this is his second season. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. And you know, Terang and Frelick, and you know, a lot of the, you know, Joey's really starting to come into his own. But when you consider, you know, the issues of the with the starting rotation and all the injuries that they have experienced, a lot of the veteran guys, these kids have come up and done a really good job. You know, the inconsistencies with wins and losses, you can't pin it on the pitching, and particularly the starters. These guys have been great, including this guy today, Chad Patrick. What a surprise he's been. And but you know, I think that you just got to be patient. I mean, they're above 500. They're kind of just kind of hanging in there and
figuring it out.
You hope that, you know, you get a nice run at the end of the season. You can't win a division, or you can't get to the playoffs in the first couple of months. You can get yourself out of it. But you know, I think the Brewers are in a position where, you know, they get off on to a good run. They recently won eight straight, so they have it in them. Mm-hmm.
Talking with Bill Schroeder, the legend of Wilde and Tausch and of Brewers Fantasy Camp and, of course, of the Brewers Television Network. Bill, I am curious, and I do – we need to address the elephant in the room, and it's not the pictures of Tausch on the walls. It is something that Jesse said a few weeks back that – since he did, things have really.
This sounds like a very tough question he's going to
ask. Yeah, no,
he's.
This is what he.
It's not for you.
It's not. Yeah, he likes greasing you up, and then.
Okay, well, yeah, he's the. You know, the preamble to this question is making me nervous.
It's actually. This is actually a very short preamble.
Not even a truthful preamble.
Okay. Here we go.
So Rock, Jesse Nelson, who's seated by you, was at a birthday party for one of our teammates. And suggested, and Jesse, I want to be fair to you because this was asinine, but I still don't want to paint you in a negative light, suggested that the way things were going early in the season, it might be getting close to the time to have a conversation about the manager and the warmth of his seats. It was one of the, dare I say, most galactically...
It sounds so dumb now. Look at that look you're getting. Jesse,
not
are you, that is it, exactly it is, what you said.
Is he embarrassing you?
It is, yes.
Yes.
Because this on the air that you were
so
saying?
I brought it up on the air.
He did
so
say it on
Bill,
the air.
Bill, may I take it from here?
Jesse is in debt. Bill, just remember, what I just did was the absolute God's honest truth. And Jesse's now going to try and lessen the blow of his asinine remarks. So please, Jesse, the floor is yours.
I'm going to turn the camera so I can be seen talking.
Oh, we're on camera?
Video stream.
You're a TV guy.
Were you going to tell me that? I mean, you know, I got to make sure there's anything in my nose. Or
you look good. You look real good.
My face looks red, and I can't tell if it's just now or if it's been that way all day. Okay, here's the thing, Bill. We were at this birthday party. It was after the Saturday night loss to the Twins. It was that stretch where things were not going well. Yeah. Couldn't score any runs. We're starting to give up a bunch. Everybody's unhealthy, and we're starting to not feel good. Fourth place in the division. And the question that I asked was the criticism around the state for Luke Fickell, for Matt LaFleur, for Doc Rivers, and every Bucks coach that there's been thus far. Even Greg Gard game by game with the Badger basketball team.
Yeah.
There's always a conversation and an indictment of the coach or the manager every time something's not going very well. That conversation was never taking place for Pat Murphy, reigning manager of the year. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the guy. And my question was, at any point, is there a conversation that would happen throughout the course of this year. That's all I was presenting was
you're a better backpedaler than Bowman.
Backpedaling. And Rock, he also mentioned Ricky Weeks.
We all know he's going to be the guy when Pat decides to hang it up, whatever that may be. That's the way it looks like it's all set up. So that's all I was asking was at what point do we ever have that conversation? Obviously, they've turned it around since. I like to think it was kind of the spark that the team needed to kind of get in the right direction.
Such a fraudulent description.
Who is it that is supposedly having this conversation?
That's another good question.
I asked the question about when the conversation would be had.
Is it front office? Is it you guys? It sounds like you already had it.
It's me.
It's just Jesse.
Me and my pals on a Saturday
really
night with some Coors Lights in hand.
You know what? There's one thing that's for sure. When you're a head coach or you're a manager, I mean, you sign on for criticism.
For sure.
Right? I mean, Taos, you know.
Yep.
When you're playing well, it's all about the players. When you're not playing well, it's the manager, it's the coach, it's the pitching coach, it's the hitting coach. It's all this kind of stuff. But, you know, then you win 8 in a row, and then everything's rosy.
He hasn't said a word since.
Right? 8 in a row.
Uh-huh. I've taken some credit, but that's all.
He didn't actually take credit for motivating
him. Did you apologize after the 8-game win?
Yeah, have you? I don't know.
I had nothing to apologize for because I never said anything. I was asserted otherwise.
I think Pat Murphy has been a breath of fresh air. Now, take nothing away from Craig Counsell. He was outstanding. I mean, he turned this organization around, but, you know, Pat Murphy is not a Craig Counsell. He is completely different, and I think that's what motivated the guys last year. Not that Craig was doing anything wrong. It's just a different voice, a different approach. I think Murph uses his coaches a little differently than Craig Counsell did. And I think that the players, you know, the fact that, you know, Murph spent a lot of time coaching college kids gives him a foot up coaching all these young guys. I mean, he kind of can speak their language, right? And that's something that you really have to tip your hat to him for. But I don't think that the conversation will ever be had, at least this year. I mean, when you come off a season like he had last year, I mean, you're going to have growing pains with these young guys, and they are experiencing it. And it's the offense. The offense has been up and down. The pitching has been terrific. Even the guys that have been, you know, coming up back and forth have been good. It's a very deep organization. I think Matt Arnold has done a great job stocking this organization with a lot of talent. And there's more coming up.
That tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that what do you know about
The Miz?
Is that official?
It says right here, Thursday starter.
All right. Well, I haven't seen the notes yet.
Because you came straight to our show.
There you go.
I like that we're breaking news to Bill on the Brewers.
I'm always the last to know everything. My God. How about a phone call? Come on.
Somebody give you a heads up?
I do know this. Mizorowski, you know, big, tall, you know, thin right hand. He throw 100 miles an hour. He can spin it a little bit. Whether, you know, he bursts onto the scene and really takes hold in the major leagues, or is it going to be kind of a Corbin Burns type deal? I know that Corbin, when he came up, he was working in the bullpen, did a really good job there. They put him in a starting role, and he got blown up a little bit. Following year, he was outstanding. It takes
it's almost
guys,
like there's a little patience that is required.
Right. Well, you got it's kind of a mulligan, right? When a guy comes up for his first, you know, six starts, if you
or 20,
you have a mulligan. Do you
Taush had 13 on
yeah,
Monday
we won a championship in a championship charity outing. Mulligan,
13 so. Mulligans all in the first hole.
Got to start fast.
But I'm excited to see this kid, and it's going to be fun. And, again, I think there's going to be a long list of players that the Brewers are developing that are still yet to come. You got some position players that they're high on. And anytime you can throw 100, look at Uribe. I mean, he struggled last year, right? But he comes back. He's throwing sliders for strikes. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. So I think Mizorowski, you know, may struggle a little bit. I mean, the fourth deck here is a little bit overwhelming sometimes for guys. But what I've seen is, you know, when these guys come to spring training, and I think Murph and I were talking about this yesterday, the culture in the clubhouses are such that, you know, back in my day, back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, you know, young players had to earn their keep in the clubhouse. I don't know how it was with the Packers and stuff.
You had to earn it, but there was a welcoming, like, we need you,
right.
And we're going to bring you along.
But you weren't afforded the same luxuries as some of the guys that have been around a while. That's different now. I mean, I think that You know, the veteran guys have they really take to the young guys. They make them feel comfortable when they come up. They don't feel as though they need to earn their space in the clubhouse. And you know, I think that helps young guys coming up, particularly a guy like this kid Chad Patrick tonight. I mean, or today, he's been terrific. I mean, you can't ask for anything more out of him. He comes up because of all the injuries, and it's going to be tough not keeping him around for extended period of time. So I'm excited about the team. I mean, I knew that there was going to be ups and downs. I mean, with young players, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. You just got to stick with them.
I mean, unless you're the Dodgers, this is just how it's going to be.
Right. Yeah, and you can't, you know, the Brewers and, you know, teams like the Brewers can't buy their way out of problems and buy their way out of injuries. They have to come up. They got to use the farm system. They got to pick guys in the offseason that, you know, have had marginal careers, and they come over here and they figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think the coaching has a lot to do with that here. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Enough about the Murph talk.
Yeah.
There was never any Murph talk.
Jason?
Jesse, I'm not dignifying this any further.
I think we put that to bed.
two more for me though, and one does have to do with Murph a little bit and your playing days. But before that, Brandon Woodruff cannot seem to catch a break. He can catch a line drive off his elbow, but just when we thought he was going to be back, you know, he gets that line drive hit off of him. What kind of a lift when he eventually avoids all, you know, I don't know if there's locusts and frogs and all the other stuff coming at him next.
Locusts.
But like, but once he's, that's a biblical reference.
No, I understand. I get it.
Like, well, how much of a lift will it be to get your ace back, especially with some of the young arms you just got done talking about? Like, what would it mean whenever it happens to get him back and on the field and on the bump?
Now, as much as he has helped, you know, in the clubhouse and, you know, in the dugout, you know, it's different. We talked about this, you know, on the air last night. It's different when you're on the injured list and you're not able to get out on the field. But when you're back on the field and you're making starts every 5 days and you have things to say, I think it's received.
Mm-hmm.
Not that nobody listens to you when you're hurt. They do, because, you know, you have to use, you know, the experience that Brandon Woodruff has had. He's had the highs and lows as well, and that's a big thing for a lot of these young guys. But having him come back, I mean, I think the expectation is going to be, you know, it's going to take him a while to get it back. I mean, his velocity down in the minor leagues, you know, 92-3, something like that. I think once he gets out on the big league mound, you know, you got the decks, you got the 30, 40,000 people. I think that velocity is going to tick up a little bit. But I think it's going to help the pitching staff. But more importantly, it's going to get the Brewers back to a position where they're getting whole again, when all their guys are healthy, you know. And that speaks volumes. You're not limping around anymore. You've got your guys back, and it's go time. You know, if you hang around before the All-Star break, you make a run, get your guys healthy, you'll get Garrett Mitchell back, get Perk back, and, you know, and you get these starters, you know, doing what they do, I think things are going to be good.
All right, last one for me. So you mentioned your playing days, and you also, when you were talking about what an idiot Jesse was, the breath of fresh air in some ways that Pat was when he took over. And not that that was an indictment of Craig in any way, but it was just different, right? And so I watched again the other night the Just a Bit Outside documentary on the 82 Brewers.
Did you see it?
Oh, I did. It's all a couple
so
times.
Good.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and I feel bad, Rock, because you're such one of my favorite people, and yet your timing completely sucked.
Yeah.
You got there in 83.
I was the beginning of the demise, wasn't I?
No coincidence, though.
Everybody thinks that I was the guy that hit that home run in Boston, but that was Ned Yost. So I take credit for it. Though.
Always.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man, I stayed back. Oh, man, that was a great, you know, it's like, yeah, you were number five, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I changed numbers the next year. Yeah.
Suddenly had curly hair. Yes. But one of the things, you know, in listening to Gorman and Vukovic and Robin and Molitor and Gantner all talk about the impact that Harvey Keene had when he took over, that it was just And look, they had made the playoffs in the split season in 81 under Buck Rogers. It's not like Buck Rogers was a bad manager by any means, but it was different, right? And it was a good fit for that team. And what you're saying about Pat, it just resonated with me when you said it, because this is a young team and he has coached college. You know, when he was on our show, I wish we could get him to come on once a week, because he was so much fun to talk about. He's got so many great stories.
No, it's all about the money. No, you want to pay him, I think you might convince him.
Well, and we probably shouldn't be calling for his job.
That would probably help.
3 weeks into a season, too. So
good thing we didn't.
You combine both things, it makes it tough, Rock.
Yeah, I know. You're behind the eight ball. Anyway.
But my question is simply this. Like, you obviously played for a lot of managers. You've been around all the different managers throughout the years. What is it, regardless of Jesse's comments, what is it that makes him really and truly different? Because you could argue that while Jesse's statement was crazy, things could have kept spiraling, right? And things could have gotten bad. Right, and yet he made sure, he talked about grit, and they found a way out of it. So I'm just curious your impressions of him now that you've been around him as long as you have.
I think the players respect him because he kind of feels like, and they feel like, he's one of them. You know, it's not like Murph is up here. The door's always open. Not that it wasn't like that with Craig, but, you know, Murph is one of those guys that he's very approachable. Anybody can approach Pat Murphy, whether it be somebody who's a security guard in the stands, or, you know, parking lot attendant, or, you know, I can have a very candid conversation with Murph, and you know, he can be honest with me. Not that Craig was not like that, but it's just a different attitude. It's a little different. I mean, it's more fun. I mean, his pregame pressers are always fun. I mean, we're talking
a little more unscripted.
I mean, I got in there yesterday, and he's talking about his son had the croup, you know, the night before.
Gotta get cold air in the lungs.
Yeah, right. And that went on for a while, and the all the reporters were saying, "Yeah, I remember having that." And this and that. So he disarms people very easily, and he will give you honest answers. And it's one of those things where you feel really comfortable with him, and I think that's the way these players are. And again, I go back to what I said earlier: the fact that he spent so much time in the college game. You know, ASU, Notre Dame. I mean, he coached Craig. Everybody knows all that. But, you know, he has a way with young people. And it's not just athletes. It's young people in general. You see him when he's outside the ballpark. You see him when he's walking around town, whether we're in St. Louis or anywhere. I mean, he's a people person. He loves talking to people. And sometimes when you get with Murph, and you're around the batting cage, you ask him a question about, you know, how's Yelich doing? He'll start talking about Yelich, and then he'll go off on some other tangent and, you know, talk to you about something else. And he has a way of, you know, having the conversation go the way he wants to go. So in deference to Jesse, I think his job is in really good shape.
Yeah, I think he is too. Who else's job is in pretty good spot? Did you watch the French Open with your partner?
You know what? I think I watched two volleys.
That's something. It's a heck of a match.
And that whole time,
Alcaraz, Sinner.
Well, that the guy that won it was down two sets, right?
And two match points. And I can't wait to catch up with BNN because I'm a big tennis fan. But he's back tomorrow. I don't know. Did you know he's back tomorrow?
Breaking news again.
I know he's back, and that's the reason why I'm not on that series.
Well, you know, and I saw Jeff Levering was in here earlier, and he's a little nervous that he's going to start saying it's love after one. Yeah, and I think that's something that we all have to make sure we're concerned
Valid
about
concern.
After all that tennis talk.
Love is all
had.
We need.
Is
right.
It's good, that's
to,
what they
good to have B.A. back. I mean, he's been a great partner. I think it's his 14th year together with me.
Long?
And my games are kind of reduced this year. I'm at 60 games, and this is a series coming up that I'm not on. I will be checking it out because you know, BA is one of my favorite people. I mean, he's so good at what he does. Regardless of, I didn't even know he knew anything about tennis.
I don't know if he did.
You know, I mean, he's sending me text messages with he and John McEnroe throwing a baseball back and forth, and you know, BA.
Wow. He's got a pretty good gig going.
Yeah, BA of all people is giving McEnroe lessons on how to throw. I mean, really? Okay. But no, proud of him. He's a shining star. I mean, he deserves everything he gets. And Although, you know, when he comes back, he's just, you know, one of the guys, you know.
Part of the crew.
He's got to understand whose ballpark this is. You know,
whose is it?
Well, I don't know.
Jesse's.
Yeah.
I think it's been clear it's not mine.
Although in the past, I always called him part-time, but I can't do that anymore because
it's
that's kind of me.
Yeah. You learned it from watching him.
Oh, God.
It's really Levering's ballpark, come to think of it.
Yeah. Levering and Grindle.
Are you getting into any of the cribbage with Levo and the boys?
I know how to play, but I'm not at the level of Levering and Rutino. So,
okay.
You know,
awesome. I like
the cribbage.
It might be the best giveaway we've seen.
Yeah, right.
Everybody loved it, and the lines were out the door when it started. So, all right, Rock. Well, we appreciate you, man.
Great having you. Thanks for having me. You guys are the greatest.
Well, yeah, we love it when you join us, and if your price tag is lower than
you watched the movie.
I did.
I watched it
three times. I got an advanced copy, you know, online, and I watched it, and it was amazing.
God,
just
was
seeing
great.
Harvey Keene. I mean,
to see Robin right. like
yeah.
that, I think was the thing that got everybody.
And Young Uke.
Yep.
And, you know, it's Harvey Keene was my first manager when I came up in '83, and he was perfect for that game because you know what he did? He filled out the lineup card and he left him alone.
Let him play.
Just let him play. You guys are veterans. You don't need me telling you what to do. Just go.
That story that Simmons tells of his first meeting, I've got two things for you. I hate meetings, and this meeting is over.
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorites. Rock, you're one of our favorites. You are always so generous with your time.
Yep.
Have a great call today. And we just appreciate you so much, buddy. We love it when you have time for us. So thanks
anytime.
So much.
Anytime. I'll come on anytime you want. So thanks for
all right.
having me.
Tosh's got some days coming up.
This is my least favorite Rock appearance so far from every time we've had him on.
That's your fault, not his.
It can't all be home runs.
Yeah, you know.
Thanks, Rock. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That is the great Bill Schroeder making all kinds of time for us with the boys at AmFam Field. And Tosh, I'm pretty sure you can see from your seats some signage for UW Credit Union out at the ballpark as well.
Indeed, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here forever. You proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. People ask me, why'd you join UW Credit? Well, first off, they're in the community. They're at AmFam Field. The banking, staying local? Well, yep. And they have great member-first service. But honestly, I just love Bucky. You guys know that. I love Wisconsin as well. And you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but, man, this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Training camp practice number 2 in full swing. More Wilde and Tosh straight ahead. Stick around.
Take my heart, don't break it.
Thanks again to Bill Schroeder. God, every time he's on, my cheeks hurt from smiling and laughing, and I'm smarter when it comes to baseball. So we always appreciate him making time for us, especially today when Jesse and Tosh are inside the booth at AmFam Field in advance of today's Brewers game. Tosh, I have a question about football, and then we'll get to Woe Nelly and everything else we've got left. So I'm watching as practice plays out here, and, you know, first of all, they're running a lot of stuff at jog through speed, not full speed. They are not in pads. This is not the same as your training camps or even your mini camps. So how much stock should I put into when guys do really good things? Like yesterday, Jordan Love was great in the 2-minute drill. Malik Heath had two huge catches, one with the ones and then one with, I think, the threes with Sean Clifford at quarterback. Mecole Hardman had a huge catch yesterday, but they're also not in danger of getting hit, and the contact levels obviously next to nothing. So I'm wondering, put this in perspective for me in terms of how much I should put into it and how much, more importantly, coaches put into what they see in these types of sessions.
I mean, I think you put a little bit into it. It's obviously better than if they're struggling and dropping 100 balls and they're not getting any better. But training camp is where you start making your name, and you earn those opportunities when you get into training camp and in preseason games, and then you continue to try and earn more opportunities.
I wouldn't put a ton of stock in it. I don't think coaches – I think they like when you see guys moving around and, you know, showing a consistency and understanding the game or the what is in your playbook and that you're taking those next steps. You're not making the same mistake twice. I mean, everything you hear in coach speak all the time, that's what coaches are looking for. But as far as, oh, this guy had a dominant day at, you know, Nitschke. Okay, cute. It can get you noticed. I think the big thing is you want to do – if you're at the bottom of – you know, if you're 80th guy on the roster, if you're in that spot, that's when you could start looking at it and saying, well, I have earned this. I'm showing enough. And the coaches are like, let's take a longer look at this player. Outside of that, I don't think you want to get too crazy with it.
Yeah, I tend to look at it more of who's playing where and what people are doing than necessarily how well or how poorly they might be doing it, right? Like right now, it's punt return, and it's Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Mecole Hardman, and it looks like maybe one other person is over there. You know, I want to see what those guys do in terms of, you know, how consistent they are catching the ball and stuff like that, but it's totally different than if you're actually returning it, even in a padded practice. And so that makes sense. I just, you know, I guess my default setting is to, as you well know, get a little more excited about stuff than I probably should.
Well,
so I think it's important.
You know what? This is where you're at. And there's a cycle of life in the NFL. It's the draft process. It's free agency. And in this time of the year, this is what you do. You can overreact. It's okay. Have some fun with it. But just like you were crowning that wideout back in the day.
Torrey Gurley. Yes, Torrey Gurley.
Take it with a grain of salt and say, I don't know if this is – it's great that he's showing up and he's kind of getting that – he's earning more opportunities, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be running with the ones and twos. The big boy football starts and you throw pads on, but positioning yourself to become a big boy in those big boy situations is what the offseason – in the OTAs are about. And if somebody makes a star-spangled awesome catch, just like at family night scrimmage, what's the dude's name that made the
Kevin Case-Fahorn.
Ended up having a really nice career. It was, again, one of those moments that I didn't know anything about him. Oh, what did he do? And Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson, everybody is looking on like, all right, maybe this guy, let's take a longer look at him. That's what this stuff is about for these young players. It's not about, oh, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. You don't know. Nobody does.
And it's about Bo Melton playing wide receiver and corner and punt block unit and coverage unit on punts and everything else. I can't wait for him to line up for a tush push during training camp. We'll have more as camp practice, mini camp practice rolls on and Jesse and Tausch roll on from AmFam Field. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate. Two quick things before Woe Nelly. One, Tausch, Nate Hobbs not practicing today. I don't know
that
if he tweaked
good.
Something.
Probably
too physical yesterday. Probably. Well, that's what the tape tells you. So the nickel is Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine outside and Javon Bullard in the slot. This is what we're talking about, though, when we talk about depth, right? Because the one more injury, and now you're in a spot where you're playing a guy who has really never played in the NFL any meaningful snaps. Kalen King isn't participating. He's got a broken arm. It would appear he's got a cast on his right arm. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about depth, right? You're one or two, as Ted used to say, sprained ankles away from being pretty thin at a pretty important position where they love to say you can never have too many guys who can cover, right? So that's one. Two, the offensive line from left to right, again, with Rashid Walker not taking part. Jordan Morgan, Donovan Jennings with Aaron Banks not out at left guard. Jacob Monk, Sean Ryan, and then
so,
Zach
Jason,
Tom.
You asked a little bit earlier about, you know, what do you take from this in overreacting? If I'm Donovan Jennings, I'm excited.
Well, right. I'm glad you latched onto that, because here's the problem with that. Yesterday, one of the reporters asked Matt LaFleur, you know, I know it's only one, you know, mini camp, but what does it mean for Donovan Jennings to get some work with the ones? And Matt said, I didn't know he did.
Ooh.
So I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you brought that up. So what does that mean?
That's not good. That is not what you're hoping to hear is, man, he has had a great IPW and OTAs, and he has earned the opportunity to go out there and run with the ones. When somebody's like, I'm not even sure who that is and what's going on, that's obviously not the that's not the way I would want that answered if I was Jennings.
That is not something I've heard many times before, but yeah. Oh, I didn't even know he was out there with the ones.
He was out there?
That's
boy, what a buzzkill that is. Jeez.
So you will not be reading the Channel 3000.
That'll make the state journal. That's what that'll do.
So that is, I feel bad. There will not be that story being written this week, clearly. But hey, maybe he'll take that as a challenge.
Why is he running with the ones, and why isn't there?
Because yeah, I don't know who else they would put there. They've got. They're two spotting, okay? So they've got at the other end of the field, which I'm down at one end to steer clear of interrupting people trying to do their work by me doing the show. Sure. But down at the other end, they've got, you know, Anthony Belton at right tackle, and they've got a bunch of the young guys, Travis Glover, who filled in last year at guard, and it didn't go very well in that Philly playoff game. So I assume Donovan Jennings is a guy who's been here now. He spent all last year on the practice squad. They, at least the other coaches, if not Matt LaFleur, wanted to get a look at him with this group instead of with the number two group.
I didn't even know he was out there. Well, take him off the list.
This guy's dead. Time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, guys, it looks like I will be running Whoa Nelly today.
Whoa,
Chrissy.
I'm here.
Oh, you are here, Jesse. Do you want to run it, or do you want me to run it?
Because
it's been handed off.
I'm out of gas.
What is going on over there?
I don't know.
I was sent on an impromptu mission.
That's true. I did send you on a mission. He went to apologize to Pat Murphy.
In person.
I don't know how it went. I didn't get a chance to see if he ended up doing it or not.
I missed him, unfortunately.
On purpose. All right, so let Chrissy do it.
Yeah, I know.
Yep, Chrissy's, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out. Chrissy's in.
It's a win for everyone.
Winded, and do it, though. All right, Chrissy,
an interrupter.
What we got?
Yep.
All right, we got time for one. Whoa, Chrissy, we'll call it today. And I want to talk about this because my roommate just put me on a new show, and we've been watching it the last week. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Love Island.
Temptation Island, I've heard.
Temptation
of.
Island?
Yeah.
Revis Island.
It's You're filthy. Showing your age.
Love Who Island.
You.
Yeah, I'm old. So what? All right, Chrissy, what about Love Island? What should I watch this?
Basically, in layman's terms, you take a bunch of 20-something-year-olds, you put them on an island in Fiji. The show's on every day, Monday through Sunday at 8 p.m. And
Netflix, or what is it?
I think it's Peacock.
Oh,
well, so much for that.
That's a shame.
Oh, no.
That's too bad. That's a bummer. That was a good run.
But why I want to talk about this is my roommate is convincing me to watch it. And I've gotten to about 8 episodes now, and I can't stand anybody on this show. So what I want to ask is, how long do you watch a show before you give up on it?
1.5 episodes.
1.5?
You haven't entertained. No. Well, you asked me a question, I answered it.
Boy, that's a quick hook.
If it's 1.5 and I have no interest or intrigue in it, I'm done. There's too many. This isn't the 80s, man, where you let Seinfeld deliver and develop. This is the new era. This is the Jesse Nelson era. You lose 7
Question
games,
the
you
manager.
Fire people.
Yeah.
You let things. You used to be able to let things mature. In today's TV landscape, there ain't no time to mature. It's you're good or you're out.
May I chime in? For
and
a
I'm
moment?
A year and a half. I don't know.
Somewhere in, I feel like somewhere in between 1.5 episodes and 8 episodes is the sweet spot to give up on a show. Are you going to keep, before Jesse interrupts, because of course he would never allow Chrissy to just do Whoa Chrissy. You're going to quit watching this, right? If you're at episode eight and you're already done?
She's got to finish the season.
She's hooked now.
Here's the thing.
You can't go that far.
There's about 30 episodes in a season, at least from what I think. But it's bad. Yeah. It's like a car wreck. It's a car wreck. I can't look away.
Oh, no.
So we just started a new show on
Chrissy,
app.
Before Jesse jumps in,
I see where this
can you
going.
Give me the synopsis of what this car wreck is?
This is intrigued.
Is there?
You're not going to watch it. It's on Peacock.
Well, I won't.
He wants your password for Peacock, Chrissy.
I mean, hey, if he wants to watch it. It is just so dramatic. They've been together for 7 days, some of these couples, and they're talking about getting married and moving outside of the villa and
Love is blind, but
it moves so quickly.
Love after lockup.
And they're all my age, and that's the crazy part.
So would you go on this show?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What if there was an appearance fee that went with it?
You would have to pay me a lot because it's a rough show. It's a rough show.
Right. Maybe you'd bring a higher brow of entertainment to it, though.
Maybe, but then I got to deal with 10 other people in the villa.
That's true.
So Jesse, what is it? 10? It's 10 and 10? That's what it is?
I think it's 10 total, five couples. But they bring in people. They call them bombshells. So they bring in people to try and split up the couples.
I'm not gonna
lie. Tempt them.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm getting more intrigued.
Oh, I knew it.
Talking. I think this sounds right up my bad reality TV show watching Easter.
If you like bad reality, right up your alley. It's voiced by a British dude who's the narrator.
Hello. Hello, Governor.
Hello, Governor.
All right.
You found it.
This might make me end up getting Peacock.
Love Island is going to be what gets you over
the
hump.
So the Badgers playing on Peacock, the movie that you're in being on Peacock, the 60-yard line.
I'm not going to get Peacock, Jason.
I think you're going to.
You never used to say you might.
That's right, true. And it's going to be your dirty little secret. You're not even going to tell us, and then you're going to slip at some point and admit to watching something.
100% what's going to happen.
Chrissy, can you believe that this happened, bro? I can't believe
Barbie broke up with Lenny and went with Ellen.
What is going on? What a weird world.
Lenny and Ellen?
Just bring me on for a weekly segment, and I'll give you all of the Love Island tea.
Oh, my God.
And that is Whoa Chrissy.
Whoa Nelly.
You guys are right. That was better than what I had.
That was by far the best Whoa episode we've had in a while. Chrissy might become like the bullpen. Hey, all right, time for Chrissy.
I think we're all in favor of that. All right, we'll wrap things up from AmFam Field and Reinitschke Field next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Field and AmFam Field. Tausch, you mentioned it earlier when I was still in my basement, but I'm watching Christian Watson run straight line, not opening it up, not running full speed. The question I have for you is the next milepost, having been through the ACL process, when he's going to be allowed to cut? And is that the ultimate test to get over as he moves forward? Because you're right, he looks great when he's running, even at three quarters or half speed.
Yeah, for me, and again, lineman and running and wide receiver / running back, it's different. I get that. You're running full speed. He's going to be close to 6 months out already, which I saw the other day, which I'm like, wow, I forgot that it said. I would not count him out. I would not count him out. I think you're not going to push it, but he looks good. You're seeing some of the stuff that he's doing. And if you can start feeling really confident about the cutting and some of that stuff, then you can start introducing some individual work. It's a whole different animal. But I think this whole concept that you had, and why I told you slow down there, young buck, is not everybody recovers the same way. Adrian Peterson came back in 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Now, was that the right thing? He had a great year. Christian Watson obviously has attacked this rehab in a big way. Everybody's saying all the right things. Yes, he needs to see more, but I think the idea and the question now, it's not going to be, is he going to be back by December? I think the question is, do you pup him? I bet you're going to start getting pup questions
right
about Christian Watson sooner rather than later, if you just keep seeing him progress.
That's it for us today. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks to Chrissy for filling in for Jesse. Have a great
Best
day. Take care.
Ever.
Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.